undergrowth and return to the civilization of the Ville. The others would already have reported the story they'd planned in advance. Ryan and the boy had gone for a late walk toward the swamps. Christy had heard the sounds of a scuffle and a shout for help, but there'd been nothing to see. Ryan would explain about the Cajuns, tall, lean, bearded figures, ragged clothes, stinking of fish and wood smoke, looming from the darkness in small dugout canoes. They'd taken him and the boy, but Ryan had managed to fight his way free during the night and struggled back. So now he had better do something about making his disappearance convincing. He'd left the Steyr rifle inside the redoubt. He couldn't bear to be parted from the Sig Sauer, and was ready to explain how he'd stolen it back from the guard when he'd made his getaway. Knowing that the swamps were full of gators, Ryan wasn't keen on going swimming, but he couldn't turn up looking neat and tidy. The sound of the frogs was louder, closer, almost deafening. He glanced around, hesitating in front of a large wallow of mud, which was at least 15 feet across, with no indication as to how deep it was. Perhaps if he knelt down in the grass and smeared a handful or two of the slimy dirt over his clothes, it would lend credence to his story. Something brushed against Ryan's lower leg, and he looked down. It was one of the bayou frogs. But generations of nuke-induced breeding mutations had changed it. Its body was an iridescent, almost luminous blue, pale and vivid, glistening with a sheen of moisture. There was a daub of pollen yellow on the end of its nose, and crimson and yellow patches along its ribs and down the back of the immensely muscular thighs. A bright pink stripe started along the jawline, beneath the huge bulbous eyes, running along the body toward the base of the spine. It was clinging to Ryan's pants by big orange suckers on the end of each toe. Its body was at least 15 inches in length. Taking the legs into account, the frog was more than 2 feet long, weighing about the same as a medium-sized chicken.
"Get off, little buddy."
The frog opened its mouth. Then Ryan saw its teeth.
"Oh, shit."
No frog that Ryan had ever encountered had teeth like that, and he immediately reached for the hilt of his punga. The creature had a double row of fangs, with canines and incisors like those of a wolf. Ryan was staring down its throat, and he thought for a moment he could detect little sacks of poison, like those at the back of a rattler's hollowed needle teeth. Even as he was drawing the panga, another of the muty frogs jumped onto his other leg, and a third, and a fourth, weighing him down.
Fire blast!
He cut down at his attackers with the 18-inch blade, seeing out of the corner of his good eye that there were dozens more frogs circling him. Dozens? Hundreds! Ryan jumped away from them, landing in the middle of the pool of mud, part of him wondering how deep it was going to prove. The answer was less than 3 feet. He sprawled into it, going under, nearly dropping the panga. There was a moment that was as close to panic as Ryan Potter ever got, while he flailed and kicked with arms and legs, recovering his balance. He found himself on hands and knees on the other side of the stinking black pool.
Oh, fuck!
He used his free hand to wipe the noxious ooze from his eyes, fingering a gobbet out from behind the patch covering the empty socket. The frogs had gone, except for one poor, twitching, headless corpse lying on the other side of the mud patch. Ryan tried to clear his mouth of the rotten slime. He touched his cheek, where he must have cracked it on a buried log in the swamp. There was one consolation. The stinking condition of his clothing would lend credence to his story.
"You think I made all this up? About the kidnapping?"
As soon as Ryan had neared the Ville, he'd been picked up by a sec patrol.
"Yeah. You stashed the kid someplace safe, though I'm struggling to even guess where that might be. And you came back because why? Chill Traven and save Boss Larry?"
"You can think that if you want to, Kelly, but you can't expect me to say anything about it."
The sec man looked around, as though he feared there was a shadow at his shoulder.
"Step like you're on eggshells, Carter. Wait and see is my advice. There's things moving here that might change the whole picture. No more than a day. Two at the outside. And the darkness at noon could be lifting. We aren't all jumping when the micro prick hops by."
"I'm going back to the motel now."
"Sure. Oh, one thing. Sky's disappeared. Traven isn't a happy man about that. Wants questions asked. Mainly to Doc Tanner. Could be the old guy's been lifted for interrogating by now."
That's not good news. Doc's had some triple shit times with Sekhmet in the past. Doesn't stand up too well. I'll see you, Kelly.
Ryan reached the gator wing of the hotel almost simultaneously with three Sekhmet, led by one of Traven's young men.
Heard you had Cajun trouble.
Heard right. Gotta clean up.
Seen Sky?
No. Kelly said she was missing.
The blank face stared into his.
Kelly? He said she was missing? We got an ace on the line for Kelly, we have.
They stood in the corridor outside Doc's room, in an uneasy tableau.
Look, I need a wash. You coming in?
Yeah. Take Doc for a talk.
Wait, and I'll come with you.
Ryan received the same curious, pinched gaze.
No, you all stay here.
He knocked on the door with ringed fingers. Christy opened it so fast, it was obvious she'd been aware of them outside. But she hadn't expected to see Ryan, covered from head to toe in stinking mud, clotted into patches as it dried.
What?
I want to search for Sky and take the old man for some questions.
Ryan, where's Dean?
I'll tell you after I've washed.
The room became crowded. Doc sat on one end of the bed, looking tired and drained. JB leaned against a wall by the blank screen of the TV, his fingers rapping on the butt of the Uzi. Mildred was in one of the chairs, her own blaster lying casually in her lap. They all looked up in surprise at Ryan.
I'll tell you later. Cajuns jumped me and the boy. Still got him. I escaped in the swamp. Details after a bath. They want Doc. They want to ask him about Sky. Seems the girl's gone missing.
There was something wrong. Triple wrong. All of Ryan's reflexes warned him there was a grave threat hanging in the air. It was as if everyone wanted to tell him something, but the presence of the Sekhmet and Traven's boy held them back. If he needed any other warning, it was in JB and Mildred's readiness with their blasters. He looked across at Christy, whose whole body language radiated extreme tension. Ryan decided to head toward the bathroom.
I'm gonna wash up.
I think.
Christy's green eyes bore into him.
I better check if Sky's hiding in there.
All of the guards had the 8-shot Colts in holsters, but none was drawn. If there was a sudden firefight, then the odds would lie strongly with JB, Mildred, and the others. But getting out of the villa alive would be another matter.
I'll look. Going in anyway.
Ryan pushed the door open and peered in. The shower curtain was drawn across the bath.
Nobody's in here. And you take care, Doc. I'll see you soon.
I will, Ryan. Many... Yes, care.
Ryan pushed the bathroom door shut and slid across the small brass bolt. The idea of getting himself cleaned up from the clinging filth was wonderful and momentarily overwhelmed the strangeness that he'd seen and felt in the others outside. Ryan shucked off his clothes and tugged back the shower curtain and found he wasn't alone. Oh, shit. Sky was dead. Her body was wrapped in a stained sheet off one of the beds, bundled up so that only her short ginger hair and waxen face showed. One eye had popped from its socket and hung by a thread of gristle over the cheek. Ryan stooped and touched the sheet, finding it soaking wet. Closer to the corpse, his nostrils could catch the sweet sour stench of incipient decay. The skin on her face, below the mutilated eye, was cold and taut. He tried to move the body, but found that it was relatively stiff with rigor mortis. The room was warm, and the weather around even warmer. It looked as if the girl had been killed sometime the night before last, while he and Dean were still on their way toward New Mexico.
Who?
Looking more carefully, teasing down the top of the folded sheet, he saw the entry wound of a knife, a very slender blade. Then Ryan knew.
Oh, Jesus, Doc.
He heard the Sekhmet and Traven's creature leave, accompanied by Doc.
Come in.
They're gone.
Heard them.
It's the girl, Sky.
I know. Doc did it. Give me a hand with her.
Why?
So I can have a bath. Then we can talk.
They sat closely huddled together while Ryan told them briefly of his jump to Jack's place and his action-filled return. He held out the compact radio.
I'll give him a try on this, see if it works.
But first they explained what had happened in his absence and how there happened to be a corpse in the bathroom. JB finished the story.
Couldn't move her yesterday. Sick man all over the place.
You could all have tried to jump to Jack's place.
You had the only code lover. So it meant making a blind jump or risking a bloody firefight here.
Think Doc will stand up?
Mildred looked at Ryan.